This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There are days when the world just feels too much, too loud, perhaps too bright, too fast, and no amount of sleep seems to fix it. Well, for many autistic people, that feeling doesn't pass quickly. It can build quietly over time. It's called autistic burnout, and it's often misunderstood or missed entirely. So what does it really look like, and how do we support people through it? Well, joining us is Sam Arnold from Western Sydney University. Sam, welcome.
Thank you. How are you going?
Well, thank you. What is autistic burnout? Can you describe it to us, please?
Yeah, so this is something that autistic people have talked about on social media for a number of years, but only recently has started to receive academic attention. And it's a period of extreme exhaustion, which sort of compels people to socially withdraw and can also affect executive functioning, so thinking and cognition and memory. And can also cause people an increased manifestation of their autistic traits, so stimming and repetitive behavior, things like this. So that extreme exhaustion and the social withdrawal being the core characteristics that people experience.
Now, people often confuse autistic burnout with something like meltdowns. How are they different, especially from the perspective of the person experiencing them?
Yeah, so... And this is where I wish we had my colleague Julianne Higgins with us, who I do this work with. Julianne's lived experience of this, but I'll do my best to try and give an understanding. Where a meltdown, something you might see in movies and TVs, that it's sort of extreme behavior with that outpouring of energy, where the person might even cry or scream or different things like this. The burnout is more the dearth of energy, the loss of energy altogether, that extreme exhaustion. So a very different experience for the autistic person.
I've noticed that, you know, if I go into the supermarket at certain hours, you know, the lights are a bit dimmer, there's no music, and I've got to admit, I find it quite pleasant just to go in at that time. Does that make a significant difference to someone if they're at that point where they're about to, you know, experience that autistic burnout and they go in and it's a lot quieter?
Yeah, I think that we are seeing some really good things start to happen in places like quiet hour at some of those supermarkets. But keep in mind, that's just 1 hour of one day of a week where, you know, an autistic person like a non-autistic person might need groceries at any point of time in the week. But it is those sensory, one of those key factors leading to the autistic burnout that a lot of people tell us about is the sensory overloads of the bright light, the noisy environments can be one of the stresses that adds up towards the person eventually falling into a period of autistic burnout. And so then to recover, it can be time away to just rebuild energy and away from those environments. That's, you know, the neurotypical world that's filled with these stresses and spending time away to rebuild energy before being able to get back out into the world again.
You're quite right, Sam, aren't you? Like, this is 1 hour a week or something, and it's such a disadvantage to have to be limited to have a pleasant shop in 1 hour.
Yeah, I think so. I think that you just see some good things happen, like the hidden sunflower lanyards and movement and increased understandings in different parts of the world. But I think it's important to understand this is a neurotypical world that's being built. And for a neurodiverse person, there's many barriers that they experience in daily life that can drain energy, which many of us just wouldn't even think of and be aware of. And so I think there's more that we can do and keep needing to do to just make this world a better place for everyone to experience.
We don't need Woolworths or Coles radio. We just need Joy when you get home.
Yeah, that sounds like another good thing we could do, for sure.
Now, the word masking comes up a lot in this conversation. You know, what does masking actually involve day to day, and why is it so draining over long periods?
Yeah, so one of the key characteristics around autism is differences in social interaction. And for some autistic people, their differences, they've learnt, it's almost protective, that the amount of stigma and attitudes that they experience because of the differences in the way that they socially interact. And so they've learnt, or things like when I'm interacting, it's good to have a certain amount of eye contact, but not too much. And I need to engage in small talk, even if that's something that's not really interesting for me. And then to be constantly monitoring yourself in a social interaction, where, you know, a non-autistic person, we do these things without being a second thought. And so having to mask or camouflage is the other term that's often used in the literature, even adaptive morphing, having to go through this process in your daily social interactions is just another level of energy drain that can lead to the autistic burnout over time. Makes me think of spoon theory. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's another lovely, simple analogy of we wake up in the morning and we've got plenty of energy. We can go and have coffee with somebody for breakfast and do our busy work day. They might go and socialize in the evening. But for an autistic person, those different social events might take away the amount of spoons, the amount of energy they've had, that by the end of the day, they really don't want to do any more social interaction. But then when there's the expectation to continue to socialize, that can push too hard and lead to burnout over time.
The masking sounds exhausting. I'm just thinking of someone who's autistic, and also perhaps, you know, from a minority group, from the LGBTIQA plus community. There's a lot of effort and energy there, isn't there, going into hiding yourself or trying to appear as how everyone else wants you to appear?
Definitely. I think that the intersectionality, the added stresses, and this, I think we need a world that's more accepting of difference and celebrates difference. Mm. That then we wouldn't have people having these, you know, debilitating experiences. Some of the our participants, it's quite, start to talk about very difficult topics that I'm not sure we should talk about too much today, but the level of stress that this causes and losing jobs and relationships over these periods of burnout, like severely debilitating this burnout because of the stress that they endure in daily interactions, and hopefully in a world that shouldn't be have to be so stressful.
We're chatting with Sam Arnold from Western Sydney University about autistic burnout. Sam, for someone who's listening who's thinking, you know what, this sounds a little bit like me, what actually helps in those early stages when energy is, you know, completely depleted?
Yeah, so some of our participants, it's interesting, who were starting to feel burnout. It was actually through their experience of autistic burnout that they first engaged with professional mental health services and actually were diagnosed, that their diagnosis of autism in adulthood came from their experience of autistic burnout. For others, I think in general, the thing that's interesting about this for an autistic person, where often a mental health practitioner might start talking about cognitive behavior therapy, so CBT, or motivation to engage in different activity, for the autistic person, it might actually be that time away. And we need more research in this area, but that time away to rebuild energy might be one of the key ways to start to recover, as opposed to engaging in, you know, cognitive behavior therapy might not be the best solution. But this is still an area we need a lot more work done.
If we're supporting, Sam, an autistic partner, perhaps a child, a friend or a colleague, what genuinely helps and what can unintentionally make things harder that we may not realise we're doing?
Yeah, so there's actually some great work from that we really like, which was done with young autistic people, asking them what they would help them. And some of the things they talked about is the open communication, being able to talk through their emotions with somebody, and then collaborative regulation, being able to work together to help regulate their emotions. And then there could also be individual coping strategies. So for some people that might be nature or pets or swimming or different things, deep breathing, finding out what works for that person. And I think the things where we might unintentionally make things worse is where we have those expectations, and what Julianne talks about, a perspective disconnect, where we just fail to actually see the world from that person's perspective. We judge things from our perspective and not understand the lived experience of that person, and put pressure on that person to, oh no, you should come along and do this, and oh, the music's not too loud, you'll be all right. Yeah. And so putting those expectations and pressures on the person could push them more towards the burnout.
It's great that we've been curious, Sam. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Oh, no, thank you for having us.
Thank you. That was Sam Arnold from Western Sydney University. And if that conversation has raised anything for you, support is available. Just head to joy.org.au/support or Lifeline 131114.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.